Emma talked about receiving the double portion. Amen? And that's Jesus' mantle, by the way. I'm going to show you this, what he's talking about. Isn't that good? Trust me, you don't want Elijah's mantle. I'm going to show you that. Because everybody prays for the double anointing, the spirit of Elijah. You don't want that. Because Elijah was a picture of judgment and fire. And Jesus saw Elijah go. So he received his mantle. But when Jesus ascended, you received his mantle. And what was that? His anointing. Amen? You want Jesus, you want Elisha's anointing, not Elijah. Everybody's running around, the spirit of Elijah. I go, yeah, your life's going to look like it too. It's a, you're not that excited about it when you understand it. Amen? So I want you to get this. All right. Now, this is not a trick question, but what I'm trying to do with you guys is open this up for you so you actually see good news. Does that make sense? So this is a Bible. I get it. But what is it composed of? Two what? Primarily two covenants. Does that make sense? An old one and a new one. And so what you have to see is there's a difference between the old one and the new one, and you don't mix them. Does that make sense to you guys? And God, he has man by himself, right? And then that didn't work out too well, is what it says in Romans. And then we gave the covenant to the nation of Israel, and that didn't work out too well, is what it says. Why did God do all this? He goes, I wanted at the end of the day go, all of you are guilty. Whether you're under the other covenant of Israel or not, you all have to, at the end of the day, go, God can only do it by grace. That's what all of this is about. So when he's transitioning from the old covenant to the new, this is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's revealing himself to the nation of Israel because the Jews, everything was prophesied. Here's what it says. I'm going to talk about Elijah and Elisha and John the Baptist and Jesus again because there's so many cool truths in there. If you get it, you'll start reading it so much differently because Barb and I were sharing. I said, you know, every faith verse, how I was growing up, is come out of there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're missing the whole point. They're missing all of it. This is where we start getting the levels and all this crazy stuff that we get. And it goes, faith was literally supposed to be everything that was prophesied is now going to be yours because of the work of Jesus. This is the promised land, right? In the physical, the Jewish nation, they said, you're going to enter into this promised land and you're going to eat in wells you didn't dig and you're going to live in houses you didn't build. What does that sound like? Inheritance, a good deal, right? Somebody else is going to do the work for me, and I get it. Does that make sense? So he brought them out of Egypt, out of servanthood, out of slavery is what it says. Now the real one, the type and shadow is the old one. The real one is Jesus. That's what it's all about. I'm going to transition from this old covenant to the new one. And Jesus didn't bring us out of a physical bondage. He brought us out of the bondage to the law is what it says. Out of having to work, right, for our inheritance, we receive it by faith. Faith in what? Jesus, that's it. Every time he talked about unbelieving generation, you faithless generation, he's talking about, do you believe in Jesus or not? He's not talking about your level. And so we get all these weird things, and I'm just trying to show you faith is actually really good news. Even though I wrestle with it, don't I? This is probably the thing I wrestle with more, and she can approve that. I'll sit there and go, hon, people do not get faith. I swear to God, they don't understand faith. I turn on the TV and everything's have more of it. I'm like, but Jesus' message was never that. His message was always, have a mustard seed and I've given you a measure. It's enough. Now just come to me and that's it. That's it. Yeah, but if you had faith, it would happen now. No, he says, have patience. So they miss, boy, Hebrews 11, first you have to have, this is what we learned in Bible school. Okay, this is how faith works. They start digressing Hebrews 11, 1. I'm like, can you read it in context? Will somebody read this in context? What he's trying to say is Hebrews 10, he says, the old covenant is types and shadows. It's not the real thing. But now, all those things that these people hoped for but didn't see, but now, faith is the title deed of everything they hope for. And then they go this. They go, all right, Rose, here's how you need to do your faith. First, you have to need something you hope for. Okay, I hope for this. I'm like, which planet am I on half the time? I'm like, can you read this thing in context? That's not what he's talking about. He goes, that was a type and shadow. Jesus is the real thing. There's no hope for this thing. If you're in faith, it just means, I believe Jesus. And he's going to do it for me. Hallelujah. That's it. Does that make sense? Because you start feeling guilty again. How come it's not happening now? I believe because you've been taught that if you had faith, it was supposed to happen now. Did all those things that it says, hey, there was a credit to them as faith, did every one of them happen now? No, a lot of them took years. Does that make sense? But here's what you can have confidence in. Everything they were hoping for is now yours. That's what Hebrews 11 says. It's yours by just believing in Jesus. He did the work. Now, if he did the work, he's our promised land. He's our rest. We don't need to work to be pleasing to God anymore. He's pleasing to God, and you're in him. You guys get this? That's supposed to be how easy faith is. You mean, Lord, I'm this. Oh, get your faith up, brother. That'll really help him. He's going to go away dejected. Does that make sense? I say, get your faith up. What does that mean? It's Jesus. That's enough. Amen. Every example they show me in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if they were in unbelief, belief, this, anybody that went to Jesus, not under pretension, not trying to follow the law, did they get what they received? Then that's enough. He doesn't change. He never changes. I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't know how these guys come up with all these theories of faith. I go, because they're missing the whole point. Okay, that being said, how many of you guys want the double anointing? It's Jesus' anointing. It's not Elijah's. Elijah's was one of judgment, and Jesus took that for us. Praise God. He got the double anointing. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. So what I'm trying to show you is all of this is types and shadows of an old one and a new one. That's what this whole thing's about. Does that make sense? And the new one's way better. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't want you to get discouraged, because if it doesn't make sense, if it doesn't seem like good news, that's not for you. It's just not. I still do this. I'm like, why did Elisha eat the bears eat those kids, man? That doesn't sound like, right? But then when I realized it was a picture of the law, who was Jesus? Elisha was a picture of Jesus. Who was Jesus upset with and called brood of vipers and this judgment's going to come on you? Who was he upset with? The religious leaders. I go, oh, that's what he's doing. Elisha is swallowing up the old religious system. Elisha, true to his character, got seriously irritated by the people who tried to put the heavy yoke on him, Reg. The yoke of Elijah. He goes, you don't have to do anything. Mine's really light. All you have to do is believe. That's my yoke. And if you believe, I'm going to pour out my mantle on you. The coat's going to fall on you as Jesus ascended. Jesus goes, listen, hey, it's good that I go, because if I go, you're going to receive the double portion, which is the firstborn's inheritance. He was the firstborn of the new covenant. Does that make sense? So you're going to receive my mantle, which is the anointing of Jesus Christ. You're going to receive my spirit. Jesus received the mantle of Elijah, which was judgment and fire, right? When we see him ascend, what do we get? That's what Jesus was trying to say. Hey, if you see me go, it's really good that I go, because I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to give you my mantle, which is the anointing that was prophesied in Joel. You starting to get this? You don't want Elijah's mantle, because fire will come down and eat you up and spit you out. Does that make sense? So is that helping you guys? All right, so the double portion is the firstborn inheritance. Jesus received the firstborn inheritance of Adam, which was what? Penalty of sin is death and judgment, right? But the firstborn in the new covenant is what? Jesus is the first fruits, the firstborn, isn't he? What mantle, what double portion do we get? His, because we're joint heirs. You guys see this? Now when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can rest. I'm going to show you these things and not go, he's doing this and he's doing this. No, it's really actually good news. So you guys are doing okay? I'll try to go through this. So, receiving the double portion simply means you don't have to pray to some man and he doesn't have to touch you and you receive his anointing. You received the anointing from Jesus. It was his double portion that you received if you believe in him. You guys get it? You want his mantle. Trust me. Because his mantle is, you're going to receive the anointing. Only the prophets, priests, and kings got it in the old covenant, but now I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And that's what Peter said at Pentecost. And this is what Joel, the prophet Joel, is prophesying about. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. But you Pharisees and Sadducees, there's going to be judgment for you. That's what he says. Who can stand his coming is what it says. Only the believers. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's go through this. So Elijah's a picture of the old covenant transitioning to the new. Elijah was the forerunner to Elisha, right? Elijah has an old covenant spirit. Judgment, fire, raining down, etc. Go read it in 2 Kings. He goes, listen, if you don't believe in it, it's so rich. Gosh, when you start reading 1 and 2 Kings like we were last night, now I start looking at it and I go, the kings of Israel rejected the prophet. And the king goes, what did he look like? Well, he was this hairy guy with a leather belt. Who's that describe? John the Baptist. I'm like, how did I miss this for all these years? I get these weird teachings from people. I go, it's all about the transition from the old and the new. So the old was, listen, you're going to reject your kings. You're going to reject your prophets. So I'm going to remove my presence from you, Israel. Now the spiritual thing, so Jesus himself shows up, the better king, priest, and prophet. And he goes, I'm going to come with a different spirit. I'm going to come and go, listen, I raise the dead. I heal the sick. I cast out demons. This is who I am. And you're going to reject me too. And my presence is going to go away from you, Israel. And guess what? You're going to disperse into the sea, which is always a picture of the Gentiles. And now anybody can come into my temple, Jew and Gentile. Elijah only went to the Jews. Elisha went to Naaman. He went to the Shunammite woman. He went to non-Jews. It's a picture of the old and new. So I'm trying to show you. Moses, old. Jesus, Joshua, new. Elijah, old. Elijah, Baptist, old. All the prophets prophesied until John. But now the real one came on the scene, Jesus Christ. See how this all works? That's what this whole Bible is about. And I see all these teachings about Elijah and everything else. I go, then you got to take everything about Elijah. If you're going to use him as the example to get lessons out of. Because his lesson was, I'm going to come, Israel, with a prophecy of judgment. You're going to reject me. Elisha's going to come with a prophecy of good news. And you're going to reject him. Nothing left for you. That's it. Does that make sense? All right, so let's go through this. Matthew 17:10. And his disciples asked him, why then do scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, and Elijah is come first and will restore all things. If you go look at that in Malachi, it says this. It says, I'm going to come, but this great and terrible day of the Lord is going to come, and the non-believers are going to get swept up in this fire of judgment. But the believers, I'm going to restore my kingdom. That's what he's showing them on that mountain transfiguration, because if you go read Malachi, it's the only time where he says, hey, I'm going to send Elijah before you. And how many guys, that's a type and shadow. The real Elijah was who? John the Baptist. That's what he says. So the real Elisha is who? Jesus. Elijah, Elisha were types and shadows, but now faith is the very real thing. See, Jesus is fulfilling every jot and tittle of the Old Testament. Get it? Okay. I'm just trying to, so if you read stuff and they start going, well, we think it's this, then just put it away. Because he tells us clearly what everything really means. He goes, I don't do anything without telling my prophets ahead of time. So don't read into stuff that's not there, and don't add and stuff that's not there, and don't take away stuff that's there. He said, John the Baptist is Elijah, so I must be Elisha. You guys get it? So, hey, before this great and terrible day of the Lord in Malachi, he says, listen, I'm going to send my servant Elijah, and I'm going to restore all things. That's what it says. In Malachi, it says this. Hey, I'm going to restore in the father's hearts to the children, and the children's to the fathers. Well, who was the nation of Israel's fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He goes, I'm going to restore it back to that, where all it was is by grace, not by the covenant of the law, which you guys have turned it into. You've become a Jezebel and a harlot because you think it's your good works now that you're married to versus me only. But I'm going to turn you back to me only. Does that make sense? All right. We are not Jezebel, Babylon, harlot, anything. That was Jerusalem. It says it in Revelation. So, properly restore back to the original standing. This is all good news, isn't it? That existed before a fall. Reestablished back to the ultimate ideal. See, how many of you guys know that Jesus restored us back to the ultimate ideal? But only if you have enough. See how it ruins it? It ruins it. No, he restored us back to the ultimate ideal. He is the title deed. He was everything that was prophesied about in the old covenant. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And now So it's hard to increase people's faith and get them persuaded when we don't persuade them. If we teach balance and law, that is not persuasive to me. It makes me doubt. I'm supposed to go, you have the title deed because Jesus gave it to you. What does complete in Christ mean? Nothing lacking. But only if you have enough, Arnold. What? See how I get frustrated with this teaching? Either I'm complete or I'm lacking. Which one is it? Well, it's both, because it's according to your faith, be it unto you. My faith is Jesus qualified me for it, and that's enough. Do I waver? Yes. Do I still get it? Yes. How's that for good news? That's what it is, literally. Have enough sense to come to me because I qualified you for it. Amen? Okay, so let's just keep going now. Verse 11, Jesus replied, be sure Elijah comes and will bring you back to the ultimate ideal. He's going to turn the Father, and it says, listen, I'm going to turn many back to their father and the father to the children. Not everybody. The people who came with their own pretension and self-righteousness didn't turn. That makes sense? Okay. Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore. See, Jesus always tries to give him assurance. Paul always tries to give him assurance. Faith teachers teach you, be unassured. I hate it. But I tell you, Elijah has already come and they did not recognize him, but they have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Aha, now the disciples get it. Then the disciples understood, oh, he's talking about John the Baptist. So Elijah was John the Baptist. Elisha is Jesus. Everything's happening at the River Jordan. Does that make sense? What's happening? The old covenant is fading away. John the Baptist says this, I must decrease and he must increase. That's the consistent theme all the way through the Bible. Hey, the glory of the old covenant, which was fading away with Moses. That's why he had to put a veil over his face, because it was fading away. But the new covenant is more glorious and it'll increase forever is what it says. Isn't that cool? All right, so that's all he's... I don't know where we get all this other teaching out of it. Somehow we do. All right, so let's keep going. Let's go. I want to show you a couple things. Joshua 3:14. So everything's happening at this River Jordan. All these types and shadows of the old covenant. Jesus is fulfilling it all in the new covenant. That's what I'm trying to show you. And it's really good. Does that make sense? All right. So Joshua 3:14. Moses couldn't come into the promised land. He's the precursor to Joshua. What is that a picture of? Law can't get you in. Old covenant can't get you in. What's going to get you in? Faith in Jesus, the new covenant. Does that make sense? It's not going to be your effort anymore. That's what was prophesied to Zerubbabel, right? Hey, say unto this mountain, this kingdom system, it's not by power or by might. What does that mean? It's not going to be your effort. It's not you. It's exactly right, Reg. When we make it, it's not by power, but by might, it's by my spirit. Like, no, you're going to enter into this new covenant, not by your works. You're going to enter in by grace, grace, Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel literally means born in Babel, born in mixture. You're not going to get in. Not even Moses. Joshua's got to take you across the Jordan. You guys get this? All right, so now when you see Joshua, say that Moses is gone. Hey, that's what he said. Your servant Moses is dead in other scripture. Now, Joshua, now it's your turn. You take him across because the law can't get you there. Amen? You're going to get there not by your power, but by my spirit, the new covenant. Hallelujah. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. What's a flood? Judgment, always judgment. Jesus comes on the scene and said, listen, the harvest is plentiful, but Israel, you're about to be judged. It's at flood stage, man. You guys get this? I don't know if you get this or not, but all right. So when the priests carrying the ark go ahead of them, watch what happens. Hey, there's about to be a flood, judgment, right? But Jesus goes, but it's also harvest time. Now the Jordan at flood stage, all during their harvest. Yet as soon as the priests carried the ark, reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge, the water, the judgment, water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away to a town called Man. Adam. Hallelujah, man. So what is that a type and shadow of? The old covenant is type and shadows. So Jesus is who? Let me start with this. Who's the priest in this deal? No, coming to the new one. This is a picture. You're right. But that's a different picture. He's a priest, prophet, king. So when the priests are carrying the ark into the River Jordan, who's the priest going into the River Jordan in the New Testament? John the Baptist. No, he's he's Levitical priest. He's Zechariah's son. He's in the Levitical priesthood. Who's the real ark going into the River Jordan? Jesus. The Old Testament, right? When you see the priests carrying the ark into the River Jordan, that's a type and shadow. The real priest is John the Baptist. He's from the lineage of Zechariah, right? Jesus steps into the River Jordan, and what does John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So the first thing you need to know is this is a type and shadow that every one of your sins has been taken away. Hallelujah. Every one, all the way back to Adam. It's as if it didn't exist. Behold, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of this whole world. When we're called ambassadors in the new covenant, everybody says, I want to be an ambassador for God and do this. I said, read the next verse. We are ambassadors of reconciliation, meaning your slate has been wiped back all the way to Adam. We're supposed to share where you're forgiven of sins. I know that's so simple, but you see people messing around and they're in trouble and they're doing this. What does the church do? You sinner, you repent. That's the spirit of Elijah. Jesus goes, I didn't come with that spirit. Hey, should we call down judgment on these people? I hope not. The same way you judge is you're going to be judged. Thank God that's no longer true after the cross. Does that make sense? See how the church puts fear in us? We forgive now because he forgave me. The real ark went into the River Jordan 2,000 years ago and removed the sin as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Get this type and shadow? Doesn't the Bible look more fun then? It's actually fun to me. as I'm geeking out with her, sometimes like, oh, listen to this. I got it. God showed me something. This is really cool. It's just fun to me. So the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up to a heat a great distance away in a town called Adam. Jesus was the true ark in all judgment. The flood has been removed all the way back to Adam, as if it never existed. That's what it says in Hebrews. Hey, listen, the real blood of Jesus, we should have no more consciousness of sin. But God won't answer your prayer if you're in sin. Wrong teaching. You guys get this? All right, let me show you more. This is where I want to get you the double anointing. You okay with that? All right, let's keep going. Let's go through another type and shadow. Oh, yeah, I should have kept going. Okay. This is really cool, too. That this may be a sign among you who are the children asked to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? If you look at this, here's what happened. When they crossed, Joshua took them across the... There's no longer judgment. You're going to go into the promised land, right? And they get to the other side, and he says, hey, you priests, one from each tribe, go out there from the middle of the dry land, meaning there's no sin. It's dry, no flood, right? Take a stone, and then the other side on the promised land, build this as remembrance of me. That's what he's talking about here, okay? And you'll see why this is important in just a second. That they may assign unto you when your children ask in time to come, Dad, what's with these stones? Right? Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees forgot what the stones were about, but John the Baptist reminds them. Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and those stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. I want you to know that not all Israel is Israel, is what it says. The believers are Israel. It's always been that way. Jacob was turned to Israel when he believed. Jacob's name was turned to Israel when he believed. Does that make sense? So that's what he's trying to show you. Hey, Israel, this is going to be for memorial that this type and shadow is going to be fulfilled someday, that all your sins are going to be washed away. The lamb can't, the little hairy thing from your farm can't do it. But the real one can do it. Guys, get it? All right, so now let's look at the fulfillment in the new covenant. Because this is a type and shadow, let's look at the fulfillment in the new covenant. Matthew 3:5, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. And he's talking about John the Baptist. And were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers. See, Elisha got ticked off at the 42 too, didn't he? All right. So, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? See, the Jews believed in two things. The Messiah is going to come and he's going to restore his kingdom. But those that don't believe, you're going to find the wrath, that great and terrible day of the Lord, that judgment of God. Always, just it's this theme all the time. All right. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Can the law bear fruit? That eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil can only produce anger, strife, murder, everything you're seeing. Does that make sense? That's why religious people are typically angry. They are. It's amazing to me. Hey, this is good news. You're forgiven of your sins. Well, you can't say that. People run out and sin. No, they're just doing it and you're just lying about it. Let me gnash my teeth. I'm just telling you, that's what it is. So that makes sense. Oh, man, I'm getting myself in trouble already. So there, hey, you Pharisees and Sadducees, you bear fruit worthy of repentance. What's repentance mean? Don't stop sinning. Change what you believe. Metanoia, change what you believe. Hey, you used to think all these works, your power and your might was going to get you in. But no, let's give Israel a little slack here. This is tough, right? Hey, you from this high, you go to the yeshiva and all these things, and you learn the Torah by the time you're 13, and then Jesus comes on the scene and goes, boys, you don't have to do any of that anymore. Heresy. Now, it's still like heresy in the church. They go, man, you're forgiven. You're blessed and favored just because of Jesus. Heresy. No different. The older brother, the law will always persecute freedom, the younger brother. Does that make sense? You just enjoy your freedom. That's what I would tell you to do. All right, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say yourself, you shall know them by their fruit. If they're angry, gnashing of teeth, what tree are they eating from? Knowledge of good and evil. If they have love, joy, peace, self-control, which tree? Jesus himself, grace. Does that make sense? They're eating from the right tree. Because the works of the flesh are obvious. You're going to be angry, you're going to murder people, you know, people, all the everything going on right now. Everything going on. The Muslim, Black Lives Matter, all that stuff. It doesn't surprise me in the least, because most of them are very religious. All of them involved in this usually grew up in church or some religious system. And they're angry. The only hope is Jesus It gives you everything for free. You're forgiven. Man, then, now there's a rest for their soul and they can bear fruit worthy of repentance, what I believe. How does God see you? God sees you perfect, righteous, and holy despite your mess. Now there's a rest for my soul, my conscience, right? And now I can produce fruit worthy of repentance. You guys get what he's trying to show him there? You guys aren't producing anything yet. I can still tell because you're angry, you're ticked off at me, everything like that. So therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say yourselves, we have Abraham as our fathers. We're the real children because we have Abraham. What did Jesus tell them? They're the son of who? The devil. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you religious people, no, your father's the devil. Because the devil is the one that came in and said, hey, you need to do something to gain your inheritance. God made you and said, you are an inheritor, you're a son. The devil's system, which was picked up by religious systems, is you got to work for your inheritance. You got to do something to be pleasing to God. And that's not who he is. He goes, you're pleasing to God because of the work of my son, and you get the double portion. You get his anointing. Hallelujah. You guys get this? All right. So, you brood of vipers, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Hey, no way. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. What stones is he pointing to? The stones that Israel was supposed to remember. I took you out because I forgave you your sins, and you entered in the promised land because of the work of Joshua, not your work. So the real children are not you, Pharisees and Sadducees. In fact, there's going to be the spirit of Elijah is going to come on you. But my children are going to be the ones who crossed over by Yeshua, Jesus. Those stones were as a memorial to all of Israel. So they crossed at the Jordan, the very same place where they crossed before, because it's a type and shadow, and they put up the memorial for Israel of all those stones. So John the Baptist goes, you're not the real heirs. The believers are the real heirs. You guys get this? You're the real heir. That's the stone he's pointing to. Does that make sense? Is this good? All right, let's go a little bit more. And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. This is so good when you get this. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit, good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. Hey, my baptism is I believe something different. That's how I'm going to baptize you. But the one coming after me, right? But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals are not worthy to carry. By the way, Jesus said this. Hey, the law and the prophets were up until John the Baptist. But I tell you the truth, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. When you transfer into the new covenant of the kingdom, which you're all in, you're greater than John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? That's what he's showing them here. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit, by the way, who's he talking to yet? I want to keep this in context. Pharisees and the Sadducees, this is who he's talking to, is he not? You're not the real sons. I'm going to raise up sons from these stones. The believers that believed they could get into the promised land by grace itself, not by works, because Moses couldn't get in. All right? So, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who's coming after me, who's coming after him? Jesus himself, Elisha. All right? But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's going to be a choice for you. Now, I know the word of faith tries to put this as he's baptizing you with fire. Let's keep it in context. What fire is he talking about? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Who's going to get cut down here? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, this axe that's coming out of the River Jordan is going to cut off the self-righteous and burn them with fire. But the wheat, the first fruits, those who believe in me, I'm going to gather into my house. See all this? Which I fire, fire, fire. That's not the fire he's talking about. Oh, Lord. All right. 2 Kings 6:4. I'm going backwards now. I showed you the type and fulfillment, but I want to show you the precursor to this, 2 Kings 6:4. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Yikes, who's going to get cut down here? The non-believers. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I can't work anymore. I have no ability to work anymore. no more axe. And it sunk, right? So they're cutting, if you read it in context, it says this. The sons of the prophets went to Elisha and they said, let us go down to the river Jordan and make houses for ourselves. What's that a type and shadow of? We're going to make our own house. Elisha, please come with me. Elisha goes, all right, you can go. And so they start cutting down trees to make a house for themselves. But it's not going to be. Zerubbabel says, no. It's not by your power, by might. It's going to be by my spirit. Hallelujah. They wanted to build their own house. People still want to do it today. I did this by my own effort. No, you didn't. So the man of God said, you see what they're seeing? They finally give up. Alas, master, we can't work anymore. I was borrowed. Now we're in debt. There's nothing I can do now. They've come to the end of themselves, right? But the spirit of Elisha does what? So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him a place. So he cut off a stick. Who was the branch that was cut off? I'm going to cut off the right branch, Jesus, and throw it in the water of judgment. And the axe head's going to float. It's not going to be an iron judgment for you guys if you come to Jesus. He's going to make you float. So the fulfillment, Jesus says, I'm going to cut down those trees that don't bear fruit, you Pharisees and Sadducees, but the ones that are by grace I'll make float above the water. Jesus is the axe. The axe. You guys get this? Go back there. They went to the same place, the River Jordan. The axe is laid to the root. John the Baptist is coming. Hey, listen, this axe, there's going to be an axe that comes out of this River Jordan. He's going to cut down the trees that don't bear fruit, but the trees that just change their mind and believe who he is. He goes, man, I'll take you out of the River Jordan and make you walk on top of it. Peter, take my hand. I'll make you walk above the waters. Hallelujah. It's all a picture. The axe head flows to the surface. Jesus walked on the surface of the water. But if you have enough faith, you too can do what Peter did. I'm like, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the axe is going to be raised up out of the judgment. And you, if you have his hand, you're raised up out of the judgment with him. As soon as Peter looked at himself, what did he do? He sunk. Started to build a house by himself. He goes, no, that tree is going to be cut off by the real axe, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the spirit of Elisha? He sent the bears and he ate up the old covenant Pharisees and Sadducees. He cut them off and threw them into judgment. But the true believers, he goes, I'm going to gather into my house. I'm going to gather my wheat into my garner. Get it? Now let's go. Let me just finish with this. All right, here's the double anointing. You don't want Elijah's. Let's go to 2 Kings. And I'm not going to do a slide because I realize if I do slides, I take too long. I'm going to get you out of here on time. All right, 2 Kings 2. Let's go to 2 Kings 2, verse 9. So this is Elijah and Elisha. And this is where Elisha asks for the double portion. He's not talking about the double anointing. What he's talking about is a double portion is the inheritance of the firstborn. Hey, I want to receive Adam's portion, basically, the old covenant portion. This is what he's saying. And so it was, when they had crossed over, he's talking about the River Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, Elijah means God is Yahweh. Elisha means the salvation of God. Father God, Son God. Old covenant of judgment, new covenant of grace. All right? Elijah, Yahweh God, which is how the Old Testament knew him. Right? New covenant, Elisha, the salvation of God. Yahshua. See how you get this? Yahweh God, Yeshua God. All right, okay. Because these names mean something. Ask, what may I do for you? So this is Elijah asking Elisha. I am taken away from you. Elijah says, please let me have a double portion of your spirit. What is the spirit of Elijah? Judgment. Here's what he's doing. Father, put the spirit of judgment on me. The firstborn, Adam, I'm going to receive his mantle. The double portion. He's going to get what the first Adam deserves, sin and death and judgment. See what he's trying to show him here? Please let me have the firstborn portion. Let that spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Is anything too hard from God? I know he's not talking about, this is really difficult. Because God doesn't talk like that. If you go look up hard, it means wrathful. Man, you've asked for the first Adam's wrath. Isn't that amazing? The first Adam, what his inheritance was supposed to be sin and death and judgment. Amen? So Elisha comes on the scene and says, Father God, don't punish my people. I love them too much. I want the spirit of Elijah, which was fire and judgment, to fall on me. Amen? you've asked a hard thing, a wrathful, judgmental thing, if you go look it up in the Strong's. Nevertheless, if you see me, when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you shall not be, it shall not so. Then it happened as they continued to talk that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel. All right. So here's what he's saying. If you see Yahweh, my presence, taken from you, then that spirit of judgment is going to fall on you, Elisha. Jesus, you've asked for a wrathful thing. Nevertheless, I'll do it. Now let's go to Matthew 27:46. It says, when you see his presence go away, what's going to happen? His mantle falls down, if you keep reading it. The mantle of Elijah, the yoke, if you want to say it, his mantle, his inheritance, the double portion fell on Jesus, not us. Praise God. Amen? Now let's go to Matthew 27:46, because it gets better. He said, if you see this, you'll see my father. But that's not actually, this is a type and shadow. Let's look at the real thing, Matthew 27:46. All right? If I can get there. You guys doing good? This is actually good news. It'll end well. It always does. Amen. All right. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Matthew, if I wrote this down right. Okay, I'm going to start at 45, actually. So remember, Old Testament's a type and shadow of the real ones. Hey, Elisha, if you see my presence, go. The spirit of judgment's going to fall on you. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard this, said, this man is calling for Elijah. You see this? The type and fulfillment, God's presence, I'm going to read it to you, just left. The veil was torn open. There's no presence of God in the nation of Israel anymore. It's gone, baby. My God, I saw this because I was in complete darkness. I saw God's presence leave. And now that spirit of judgment is going to fall on you, Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood here when he heard that said, this man's calling Elijah. See, here's the fulfillment. Amen? Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with wine and put it on a reed and it offered him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And if you go look at 1 and 2 Kings, that's what it says. It says, ask for him to come save you. They were criticizing him. Save yourself. This is the fulfillment right here. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, the rocks were split, the graves were opened. Many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the graves is resurrection. They went to the holy city and appeared to many. All right. So Jesus tells, Elisha tells Elijah, listen, when I see the presence of God, if you see me, you're going to go, my father, the actual thing is he goes, I just saw God's presence leave the temple system. The veil was torn in half. Why was the veil torn in half now? God's not there. Jesus actually saw the spirit of Elijah go, and the mantle of Elijah, the yoke of Elijah came on Jesus. Hallelujah. You guys get this? Because he was the firstborn of Adam. Now, in the new covenant, this is where it gets good. This is where it ends well. See, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that when we see Jesus ascend, he said, listen, if you see me ascend now, though, guess what's going to happen to you? It's a good thing because I'm going to send my spirit, and that spirit cries out what? My father. And when you see Jesus ascend, my mantle, my yoke is going to fall on you, and that is the double portion of the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn of the new covenant. Now you get to carry his mantle, his favor, his anointing, his blessing, his prosperity, his health, everything. If you've seen him go away, I will send my comforter, and you'll get my yoke. Hallelujah. You guys get this? Is that good? All right, you can read the New Testament a little bit better now. Amen? Does that help you? I'm not even going to do Matthew 11 because we're getting into this. I won't. Promise. All right, let's get to your feet. Is that good? I did better. I had my little clicker. We good? Hallelujah, man. I'll get you out of here. Now, Chris Abeda times me. He goes, from the time I tell you to stand up to the time you pray, it's 7 minutes. So I'm going to try to do it. Sorry, man. Let me keep my clicker in my hand. It buzzes me, honestly. Sorry. But is it good news or good news? Hey, you didn't get the mantle of Elijah. You got the mantle of Elisha, the new covenant spirit, where we cry out, my father, Jesus took the spirit of judgment. My Father, he didn't even say my Father. He says, Eli, Eli, Yahweh, Yahweh, why did you leave me? So that you can say, my Father, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. Yoo-hoo. But if you sin in church, you'll grieve the spirit and he'll leave. Weird spirit. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. My Father, that's the spirit. I didn't give you the spirit of Elijah of judgment. I gave you my spirit, which cries out, Abba, Father. You got his yoke. Hallelujah. Get it cool? Yeah. Now, what does that mean? Let's put this practically. What does this mean? You come boldly to the throne of grace and you start expecting that you're going to receive what Jesus deserved. When you saw him ascend, I will send you my mantle, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, man. No judgment for you guys. No wrath, no nothing. Just him where we cry, he's my dad. He's Abba. I receive the double anointing, the firstborn's portion. What Jesus deserved is what I receive now. Jesus reserved the firstborn portion of Adam, sin and judgment and wrath. I receive the new Adam, the firstborn of the Spirit. And what do I get? His Spirit, which I can go boldly to my Father now and go, Daddy, I need help. He goes, I will give you help when you need it. That's as much faith as you need. Praise God. That's the good news of the new covenant. Don't get any more complicated. If it's not good news, it's not new covenant. It really is pretty simple. Just telling you. So does that help? Now, if you want to be part of the new covenant, you just operate in a new, different spirit. Here's the message to you. It's not by power, by might. Meaning, you don't have to work for this new covenant, guys. Jesus did the work. And now you get his yoke and mantle. You're hidden in him. What does that mean? Everything you've ever done, everything you're going to do today, and everything you're going to do tomorrow, he's back that up all the way to a sin called Adam. Sin doesn't exist in him anymore. Even though you're sinning, you're not a sinner. It's impossible to live in it. That's what Paul was trying to tell you. It's impossible because that man's dead. You're the new man in Christ Jesus. Now, that is that's the transformation of your mind every day. Does that make sense? Man, I'm righteous. If you ever woken up and not feeling very righteous, daily, get rid of that spirit of judgment. Put on my yoke. You're a son. Amen? Isn't that cool? So that's being born of the new spirit. Hey, he's washed away all of your sins. You're as white as snow. We were singing about it today. Even though we did deserve judgment, he received the spirit of Elijah. I get the spirit of Elisha, the new covenant, where all I do is raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now enter in. That's all it is. Amen? So if you've accepted that, you go, you know what, Jesus, you've taken all of my sin. You even taken my death so that when I pass on, the minute that last breath comes out of me, I get my resurrected body. Hallelujah. Death has been swallowed up. There's no fear of it anymore. Isn't that cool? It's really beautiful. When you believe that, now here's the most important part I think you need to believe. First, you need to believe, hey, sin's backed up to Adam. Second part is now you can enter into your promised land. He brought you in. Now, all those promises are yes and amen. That's what he's trying to tell you. Jesus was your promised land. He's your rest. Everything written in that old covenant that they hoped for is now yours. Despite how you feel, your level, anything, it's yours. And that's what needs to be preached. Sin's over. Good times are ahead. Hallelujah. You guys got it? If you believe that, you're born again. You're a believer. Amen? You don't have to be weird about it. Just live your life and you'll attract people. I believe in lifestyle evangelism. I don't believe walking on the corner and go, do you do this? I just don't believe it. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to throw the law at them. I just don't believe it. And the message you're supposed to throw at them is, God's reconciled you, man. You're free. Well, how will they know? Trust me, they know. They know they're a sinner, don't you? All right, that's probably 6 minutes, so I'll stop. So, all right. You've received. Hey, I'm telling you, it's that easy. It's that easy to enter into the kingdom. Believe that Jesus did it for you, and you are a believer. Hallelujah. All right. Now you get to go to the promised land. You can go boldly to the throne, and when you come, you're not going to receive what you deserve. Praise God. You're going to get grace. Undeserved favor because Jesus did the work. So what does that mean, guys? That's really good news. That means rest. Stop trying to have enough faith to get healed. Stop trying to not have enough faith to be prosperous. Just go, I am prosperous. I am healed. And don't put a level on it. Don't put anything on it. Because if I can go to Jesus, that's enough. You can boldly go to his throne and you're going to get what you ask for. Hallelujah. That make prayer easy? That's why I love Jigo. And the last thing we should write a book about is prayer. It says, if you ask, you shall receive, under the new covenant. And not only are you going to receive, you're going to receive exceedingly abundantly beyond what you think or ask, because that's how much he loves you, is what Ephesians 19 says. Amen? Yeah, but. No, yeah, but. It's just yes and amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's just, I don't know what you need, but for the first time in your life, go, I'm going to get rid of these pretentious and at this level and that level. I'm going to boldly go to the throne. You can cry. You can laugh. I don't care what it is. That's what he says. He goes, listen, I don't find fault with you when you come. I don't ask you, why did you get into this? If you had more wisdom, you wouldn't have got into this. Adam could have said the same thing. King David and I were talking about this. What wisdom or knowledge? I said, you know what? Wisdom first, because it's this. Christ has made unto me wisdom. And what is the wisdom of Christ? Lord, I know I messed up. But my wisdom is I'm going to receive mercy and I'm going to get what I don't deserve. Because I'm going to get what Christ deserves. That's Christ has made unto us wisdom. And if you pray for that, you'll receive that. Lord, I know I deserve this, but this is what you want to give me.